This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Can't get enough of the fan in the morning?
Shown up.
Because this is nothing like that.
Twerking.
Al and Jerry are here with stories they'd never get to cover on the morning show.
Very sexy robot.
Hey, look at that pig.
Shenanigans.
Naked yoga.
My mother had a bad experience with these goats.
Let's hump the fence.
It's Al and Jerry's post-game podcast.
All right, away we go on a Monday. Al, what up?
Oh, hi there, Jerry. You know, this weekend, yesterday, I went to, they have this Garden State Film Festival. It's all like people.
I did not know that.
Well, I wouldn't know that either. They were doing it at Asbury Park. Gina wanted to go because there was a documentary about Miss America.
Okay.
The Miss America pageant. And Gina, when she was in the 1990s, I think Gina was like in these Miss New Jersey pageants. And if you win Miss New Jersey, you go to Miss America.
Right.
So she's very much into the pageants. But it ended up being a very interesting documentary that I enjoyed. And it was all about how, like, Miss America pageant and Miss America used to be huge in the United States.
Yeah, I remember.
Like, they said in this documentary that it was right behind, like, the Super Bowl. It was, like, as far as television.
Popularity.
Popularity. And what we thought of Miss America. Like, she was just this like a princess in America, Jerry.
Right.
And they went through this whole thing, but then I feel like they glossed over like why it failed.
Because there's too much out there now.
Well, there were a couple things. I want to see you get your take on this. One thing they glossed over was it went from like it was this huge television event. And they glossed over the fact that it went from like I don't know if it was on ABC. I think it was on ABC.
ABC. Yeah.
Then 1 year.
Isn't that when Boomer did it when it was on ABC.
Oh, right. Yeah, Boomer even did it. Then 1 year it was suddenly on TLC.
Mm.
Then it was on.
That'll hurt.
Then it was on CMT, country music.
Yeah, though. Sure.
But I wonder, like, what happened? They glossed over. Like, to me, that's a big portion
loss of
it.
Interest, maybe. I don't know.
But
maybe.
was it 1 year it just fell off the face of the earth?
He's a good person to ask.
They should have.
He was all up into that.
Yeah.
And probably had, I would think, information on ratings and how much the networks were paying for it. Maybe ABC didn't see a return as they had in previous years.
Yeah.
We're good. And then they shopped it to the highest bidder and TLC came along. Who knows?
Yeah. I don't know if there was like a, did it slowly get less and less people watching?
Right.
And then ABC was like, eh. Or did they just decide, we're not interested in doing this? It was not clear.
Or did it get so popular that they were like, we want more money? And ABC's like, see ya. And no one else stepped up. And they were like, uh-oh.
Yeah, and here's the thing.
Who knows?
At these film festivals, when you go, for the most part, when the film is over, the people who made the film are there.
Oh, yeah.
And you could ask them questions. I had all these questions, Jerry. No one from the film was there.
They just sent the film. Yeah. That would have been interesting.
Then the other thing that I think happened, you know that saying where they go woke, go broke? Where
it's
you've never heard that?
No.
Really?
Go
woke, go broke?
No.
That means like if you follow the current social
climate?
Yeah, climate where you change up what you are because you're trying to satisfy everybody.
Oh, okay. I never heard that before.
Oh, yeah. Go woke, go broke. To me,
I got to get on watching this TV thing.
Yeah. I feel like Miss America may have been the very first go woke, go broke.
So how so?
They eliminated swimsuit competition because, that's objectifying women.
Well, and look what happened to Sports Illustrated, right?
Right.
They stopped with their, or changed it, I should say, and the popularity of it dipped.
Right. That's a go woke, go broke situation also, you could say. Like, so when they went to like plus size models, trans models. They got away from there.
Yeah, yeah.
What they were.
They did trans models, really?
Yeah, on the cover.
Oh, really?
One of the last, shockingly, one of the last swimsuit issues that they put out.
Huh.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It was an interesting.
Remember Saquon Barkley was in it?
He was
holding
in
the football?
He was in the swimsuit issue, or that was ESPN, the body issue?
Oh, is that
issue.
What that was? Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, my bad.
That
my
was
bad.
When they had male and female nude athletes.
Was it Warren Sapp in it once?
Was he?
I feel like there was a larger defensive.
There definitely
type
was
of
a larger
player.
Defensive person.
What was maybe it ESPN was the body?
Yeah, the body.
ESPN the body.
Yeah, there were some people in there with very large bodies.
I'm gonna put in. Does Warren Sapp come up? I don't know why I feel like he was in it.
ESPN the body. Issue.
No, maybe not.
There was somebody big though. You're remembering correctly. I just don't
I
know
just
who.
Don't remember who it was. Okay. Yeah.
So I don't know. It was just one of those things, and it's like, well. Now Miss America, like, we've had Miss Americas in studio after they won Miss America. We would have
remember,
them in.
I do remember that.
But now it's
didn't
like.
You have Playboy centerfolds in, too?
We had Playboy. We had Miss New York come in a couple times.
Okay.
Upon her winning her title.
Yeah, yeah.
But it just, I don't know, it's just weird, like, how something that was so popular.
Yeah.
Just, I guess, a couple of wrong moves, man, and you are screwed.
And it's gone. Just like that.
Yeah. Like you want to, if you stay the same and don't change, you're afraid the times change and you lose out that way.
Absolutely.
But if you change too much or too soon, change too soon, too late, or too much, you're screwed.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right about that.
And the Miss America pageant fell into that. I was just all excited to ask questions, Jerry. I wanted to like, I had like multiple questions I wanted to ask.
Now, was this Saturday?
This was Sunday, yesterday afternoon.
Oh, okay. Saturday would have been a great day with the rain.
Yeah, but the problem with that was that you have to go venue to venue. And oh, pouring okay. rain, I had no interest.
By the way, Greg Norman was in the ESPN body issue.
The old guy, Greg Norman, golfer? Oh, my gosh. You know what? I do remember that.
I don't. Yasiel Puig, I remember that. I got Jerry Rice, Saquon Barkley.
All muscle guys.
I'm still trying to find, but some of these I don't remember. Which is amazing.
You're looking for a large offensive or defensive line.
Yeah, and it's not here.
Yeah.
Dallas Keuchel. Remember him with the beard from the Astros? He was in it. I can't get my eyes. This Greg Norman one is ridiculous.
That is a weird one.
Wow, nude, that was pretty
a
wild.
Nude old man walking in the golf
whatever.
Course.
Whatever. Whatever, whatever, whatever.
Hey, what
did you go see other films or just that one?
No, it was. We just got a ticket to that one because Gina really wanted to see that.
Got it.
But it was really well done. And what's weird is like, I actually think it would be successful on Netflix.
Yeah.
But it's buried on like some streaming thing I've never even heard of.
Who's going to see it?
No one's going to see it. Right. And all this work they put into it.
Yeah.
I actually think it's interesting because it is a pop culture moment.
I think most films, you know, we all get locked into the ones that are in the big screen. There are probably thousands of films that get made every year.
Yeah.
That do nothing but lose money.
Right.
It's a.
And the
tough
amount
business.
Of years it takes to
yes,
to,
and the and
to
the resources,
money. Yeah,
everything costs a fortune. I try to figure out, like, you know, I know you tried the YouTube thing for a little while, and as I said to you a few weeks ago, I think you gave up on it. Too
I did,
soon,
I gave very,
but whatever.
Very soon.
I watch these golfer things that you know G's into, and there's so many of them out there now, and I think, how do they afford to do it? Like, do you have to go? Is it like a traditional business now where you got to go get $100,000 of backing? Because, like, the successful ones clearly have two camera guys with them. Then it takes days of editing. I mean, it's a lot of footage to get through. And I kind of went and looked. They basically release one or two a week. That's it. Which means they're paying guys for full days worth of work and then days of editing. And then they release it and you hope that it makes the money. And they,
right, full-time
well.
Employees.
They've got spot. Yeah. Like, they have legit people working for them. And I said, and then you talk about a film that can take 2 years to shoot and edit, and then you release it on some platform that no one's going to see it. You make nothing, like nothing.
Yeah.
It's odd.
Yeah, very odd. There doesn't seem like to be a lot of like forethought. Like,
no.
What is this?
I guess the forethought is to be the next big thing. And I guess it just takes one person to like it, one person to put it in the theaters, and you could make $100 million.
Yeah.
Or you could take it right in the ass. And not make anything.
Correct.
And lose your shirt.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. It's weird.
I did reach out to a influencer over the weekend, okay, and it did not go great, though I thought I was nice about it.
Is this the one you told me about?
Yeah, I did reach out to her. So there's a, I follow a lot of what
this was about the diet, right?
Yeah. I follow a lot of people that I call ingredient influencers. Right. These are people that tell you when you go to Costco, this is what you should get. These are good ingredients. These are bad ingredients. I like to follow a handful of them because you'll see consistency. Okay, everybody likes this. Everybody likes this. So there was a new woman that popped up. She only has 65,000 followers, which for that genre is not a lot. So she's new. And she was heavy, a little heavy. So I thought, okay, well, she's saying all the right things. She's buying all the right food. She's seemingly eating all the right food. So I was just curious and reached out to her. I just said, hey, how long have you been doing this? And she wrote back 4 years. So I was like,
Now, that's where you left the update, I believe, on Thursday with us.
That's where I left the update, where I was like, I'd really love to know why she's still struggling with her weight. So then she posted some more stuff over the weekend about, the Ozempic shots and things. She's like, you know, we've got to eat the right foods, and people are blaming genetics, but it's the food. And I was like, all right. So I said, I'm going to write a well thought out note to her.
By the way, did you see, as you find that, did you see the update on Ozempic?
No, what's the latest?
There was one of these experts on one of the new shows that said, you know, because Ozempic hasn't been out there all that long, and they're finding that the results are now starting to come in over a couple of years. And while it does work wonders, and there are people that have side effects, but the initial data coming in is after like 13 months. I think 13 month was the time frame. The body starts to say, not interested anymore. And it's really, you have to change the way you eat.
Yes.
So that you don't put the weight back on.
Correct.
So go ahead.
So I want to tell you, I want you to pay attention, if you can, Jerry, to how nice I'm saying these words.
Yeah.
And how I'm saying it. Hi. Just started following a few weeks ago. I've been eating clean for about 2 years and have been following a handful of ingredient influencers like yourself. You seem open to discussing this stuff, but I also didn't want to put this out in public. You know, I DM'd her. We have been told by all of these influencers that if you eat clean, you will not be overweight.
Oh, boy.
The reason we are overweight is because of seed oils, sugar, and ultra-processed foods. On this post here, you address obesity. So I am curious and confused as to how you can have been eating clean for almost 4 years now, but still seem to struggle with your weight.
Oh.
I think others might be curious, but are afraid to ask, as it might seem offensive. I ask because you are out there as a public figure now talking about this stuff. Anyway, I enjoy your posts and hope I didn't come across as a jerk. I am genuinely curious, as all the other influencers make it seem like the only reason people struggle with weight is because of seed oils, sugar, and ultra-processed food. Thanks for all you do. Her first line back to me.
Go F yourself, a-hole.
You do seem like a jerk. But then she goes on, by the way, to give a decent explanation, which she could have left that first part out.
Then it would have been fine.
Right. She said, it's way more than seed oils causing obesity. I have not once made that claim. By the way, I didn't say she made the claim. I have not once made that claim that other influencers do. Obesity is complex, and it sure as hell not strictly genetic. Toxins may cause obesity, not only in our food, but this is a new word I heard, and I had to Google this. Obesogens are something you can look into. I Googled obesogens, and these are other factors that may lead to obesity.
Stress?
Yeah. So she wrote, hormones play a major role, chronic stress, generational trauma that has not been resolved, addiction, restricting food early in life. By the way, these are all good answers. Plus other diet and lifestyle habits. You can eat clean and still overeat, obviously. If she says, if someone goes from a standard American diet to eating clean, they will likely lose weight, but it probably won't be a ton and doesn't mean it won't come back. So I believe she addressed this in a nice way, as I felt I was asking it. In that, where did I go wrong, Jerry? Was there a phrase in particular that you heard?
Well, I mean,
where you think I?
You're all right. So for one, you can't read tone and text.
Yeah,
we know that. Okay,
that's true.
If you would have sent a voice message in that tone you just read it to me in, perhaps you don't get, you do sound like a jerk. I could have taken that as, all right, you're following me, but clearly you're fat. What's the problem? Just
right.
Reading the text, even though you said a couple of things along the way about enjoying her, about, there were also a couple of things we're talking about. They don't appear overweight, which means you are. And you can take it as you want to read it.
Right. That's true. That's true.
My guess is, too, it's probably not the first time she's heard that.
Right, but I'm sure maybe she's heard it in a mean way.
Right. But you can't decipher without the tone. The conversation's a better conversation than it is written.
Yeah, and I also didn't. I could have written, as people do for us, under her post for everyone to read.
Absolutely.
I could have written that.
No doubt.
But instead, I was like,
I'm going to private.
Write it to her privately.
No question about it.
But I do think it's odd because it really did throw me off because I did start to believe that eating all of these, you know, not processed food, and she's right. If you eat a lot of it.
You're still eating too much.
Probably still eating too much.
See that, and again, here's the misinformation or the cross information. I'm not even sure what to even characterize or call it as anymore. But there are people out there that are ripped to shreds that will tell you as long as you just eat good, clean food, eat whatever the hell you want, and you'll be fine. But as I've said to you, too, that's fine. But you can't tell me you can eat 8 steaks, 17 pieces of bacon, you know, 8 sweet potatoes at one point, 6,000 calories and not enough movement is still 6,000 calories and not enough movement. It's got to go somewhere.
It's so strange that we still don't have a definitive formula.
We don't. But I watch, you know, the guy, Peter Attia?
Yeah.
Okay. So I saw him on an interview over the weekend. This has become my new thing to go to sleep with. I put YouTube on at night, and I put different interviews on. And I end up watching maybe half before I fall asleep. And as I find myself dozing, I stop it, and then I try and finish it the next morning or the next day. So I was watching him do an interview, and he basically said, I'm not going to sit here and tell you about keto, carnivore, omnivore, vegan. And you said this, I think, last week. I'm pretty sure it was you. Or maybe it was Boomer. Someone said it last week. It might have been you. I don't know. He basically said, eat good food, exercise, get enough sleep. If you cut the crap out, you take care of your sleep habits, and you move, you're going to be in shape. He's like, that's how I live my life. He goes, I'm not backing any specific. He's like, do they all work? Yes. Do they all have drawbacks? Yes. Some work for some don't for others. If you just eat well, move, and sleep, you're going to be okay. I'm like, yeah, you know, that sounds about right.
Yeah, that does sound about right, Jerry.
You're going to sleep 3 hours a night, drink vodka while eating Doritos, you're going to be a pig.
That is true.
I mean, there's no way around that.
Correct.
You can't shove Oreos and Doritos down your throat, not sleep, not move, and think you're going to be in shape. It doesn't work that way.
Now, the good news is, so she didn't block me. So I'm still able to see her.
Now, what was this
postings?
On?
Instagram.
I know you could block people on Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know Instagram very well.
I had a ingredient influencer block me.
Really? Too many questions?
Well, I had asked her.
Why are you still a size 14?
No. This girl is thin in shape.
Okay.
But.
You asked for nudes.
No, I did not ask for nudes.
I'm just kidding.
But this is what happens to even a guy like Bobby, who I say, Bobby approved, Bobby Parrish. Okay. She promotes, this ingredient that what they call natural ingredients is, if you listen to the people say natural, there's nothing natural about natural ingredients. They're still chemicals. So they're all against natural ingredients.
Until they're getting paid.
Correct.
So
this girl started doing ads for something with, and I looked at the ingredients. I said, I DM'd her. I said, hey, I go, you're normally against these natural flavors. Any particular reason why this one's okay? She didn't respond.
By the way, it seems like a fair question.
Yeah, thank you. She didn't respond. So then she posted about it again, like 2 weeks later. And I responded again. I said, hey, I said, again, I go, you seem to be avoiding the question. She wrote back, if you're so interested, you write to the company, you are blocked. I was like, wow. I said, okay.
See ya. Yeah, it's money.
Yeah.
Money, they all, money, money, money.
They all, yeah, and it's, by the way, it's a tough business. If you quit your job to be an influencer,
and that's where
hard.
Your money's coming from.
Yeah.
You ain't kidding.
Hard to do.
Hard to turn stuff down. Now, I'm not saying you go be an influencer for Pizza Hut.
Right.
But some of the stuff is, even like these bars I bought at Costco the other day. Their build is very healthy. I have no idea. I'm looking at the ingredients, I'm like, probably not great. I'm like, but damn, it looked good. You know, what do I know?
Yeah.
You know,
what unless, do we know?
Unless I'm going to really dive in. Here's what I know. They're better than, you know, granola bars. I know that they're better than chocolate-covered Pop-Tarts. But I don't know if that's really good or not. I have no idea.
We have no idea.
But I could see them going to an influencer and saying, these are all the positive things that are in them. We'll give you $50,000 if you want to promote it. Okay.
Yeah, and you don't. And this is your full-time job. Yeah. You're taking that.
Yeah, how would you not?
Yeah.
It's tough, man. It's hard to not be a hypocrite.
Yes.
It really is.
Especially the longer you do something.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's funny now, too. Like, I love going to the anytime Bobby from Bobby Approved, Bobby Flav City, anytime he posts on YouTube now, I'm there for the comments because it's all just people picking apart everything.
Really?
You said this in the past, but now you're saying this. Like, man.
You got to be careful. Like, if you're gonna set your sights on being a specific person,
yeah,
with a specific agenda, you got to stay true to that agenda in this day and age because everyone keeps everything.
Yes,
you know,
we keep
not,
receipts.
Oh my God, you're not kidding. I mean, just look at Funhouse with Mike.
Right.
You know, you can't sit there in March and claim that the Yankees are the greatest team he's ever seen, and then in May say, "Told you this was going to happen." No, because Funhouse has you saying they're the greatest team ever assembled, and then in May saying we knew this was going to happen.
Yeah.
Or Colin Cowherd, who he does it to all the time. It's got to stick to your guns.
Yeah.
It's all right to change your opinion, but it can't be so stark.
Yes.
You know, especially if your whole premise is Bobby approved good ingredients, and now because you're getting paid, you know what? We can hedge a little bit on these ingredients.
These are not terrible.
Oh, that doesn't work that good.
Yeah. What is going on with this squatting situation, Jerry? It feels like I keep reading stories.
There's stories every day.
About either someone, and it's weird because like in the surrounding towns where I'm in,
yeah,
there's a lot of homes that are weekend/vacation homes for people.
Yeah.
And we see that in our states, New Jersey being one of them, New York being one of them, if someone just, in a house you own, breaks in.
I don't understand.
And decides they now live here. You can't kick them out.
I really don't understand.
You can't change the lock on your house.
That you own.
That you own.
Yeah.
This is scary.
I agree. Very. Now, I haven't seen it too much in Jersey. I've seen it in Queens.
Yeah.
Like four different examples in the last 3 weeks. And some of them are, there's one, and I had it, I never got to it last week. It was my rip from the headline. So I have fun with that with Boomer once in a while. And one of them was, squatter takes over Queen's home, rents out rooms. And so the people came, and the squatter wasn't there, but the people that rented the rooms would not leave because they paid him and had a lease agreement, and they wouldn't kick him out. I don't know. It's fraud.
The weird one, when I first moved to Bradley Beach four years ago now, there was an ongoing thing. Like down the Jersey Shore, there's a lot of winter rentals and summer rentals.
Yeah.
So you can rent from like September through June.
Yep.
And then you got to get out like either, I think, June, July, August.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's a different rate.
Right.
People get a lot more money.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So there was a case there where the winter rental was like, not leaving.
Yeah.
And nothing happened.
They stay.
They stay.
Got to go through the court systems. They don't want to make them homeless.
Even though you have a signed agreement that says this lease is until June 1st, then you got to get out.
It's amazing. Like, why not just go squat on Long Beach Island?
Right.
Like, Beach Haven is a ghost town all winter. Why not get your friends together? Go squat on LBI and you can enjoy your summer.
Yeah.
For free.
Yes.
There's so much backwards crap right now that's going on. And that's one of them right at the forefront. I don't know.
That's why it's weird. Like when people will say, oh, you should rent out your condo. Or if you go move somewhere else, keep your condo, you can rent it. I'm going to be afraid to rent my place to somebody.
I know. You see a lot of... Now, in fairness, these stories are few and far between, but they're scary.
Yeah.
And if you end up with one of the few, it can change your life.
They're few and far between, and then I wonder, all the coverage that it gets, does that encourage other people to go, huh?
So the thing I read the other day, which I mentioned today, is that there's this whole cyber world of people making videos and trying to teach people how to do this so that they can live rent-free.
Yeah.
Great. I mean, I don't know. I don't know anymore. You're afraid to go away now. You're going to come home. Some guy's going to be in your house.
Right.
And you can't get him to leave.
Yeah. He's going to be in your house. He's changed the electricity into his name, and now that's it.
Thank God I got a cop living next door and a cop behind me. At least I feel like they'll be like, who the hell are you? And I don't think day one they can just claim the house. I think they have to come up with all this phony crap.
Right.
But no thanks.
Yeah, it's not going to happen to you if you go away for the weekend.
Right.
But it's like if you are gone for the entire winter season, like you live in Florida during the winter and you show back up home.
Like the girl in Georgia, she was in the military. She went for a 3-month tour in, I forget where, but overseas. She came home and there were 9 people in her house living there. Like, she's serving our country.
Right.
And she couldn't get them out of her house.
You losers.
Horrible. Just horrible.
Terrible, Jerry.
And I don't know what the answer is.
Yeah.
Other than remove them with force. Right? What's the alternative here?
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense to me. But then again, not much does anymore.
You ain't kidding, Jerry.
Yeah.
Let's do the warm-up show. That makes a lot of sense to me.
That was
warm-up
Monday.
Show?
Yep.
That makes
a ton of sense.
Get them here. Ton of sense. So!
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Baseline underneath, bank shot. No, Ewing slams him to follow. And the Knicks go up by one with 26 seconds remaining.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
The buzzer sounds, and the New York Knickerbockers are going back to the NBA Finals.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Alan Jerry. Don't worry, it's only an hour long, and most days it doesn't suck.
Never know on a Monday. What is up? Couple minutes after 5 o'clock, we're all back, we're all here. Good to see you, the Eddie Scazarian across from me. Had a nice weekend, and it was a little chilly in Bradley, and Saturday was brutal Here's Al Dukes.
Good morning, Jerry. Yes, it's good to have you back, by the way. I've been staring at CeeLo every morning
at
5
a.m.
It's been a lot.
I listened a lot.
It's been a lot,
Not
Jerry.
All of it, but a lot.
So Boomer and Gio are actually back today.
They are,
so
and then Boomer's exciting. Off tomorrow, Wednesday and Friday.
He is?
No.
Oh. We do have opening day this week, right?
The Mets
baseball?
And Brewers are actually the only, I think they're the only 1 o'clock game, and then the rest of the games start at 3.
The Yankees have a game as well, yes.
Yes, but not at 1 o'clock, I don't believe.
I think the Yankees are a 4 o'clock game.
Sounds right.
For some reason, I remember.
Right.
I punched that into my calendar, Jerry.
I'm going to make sure of that right now.
So Mets Brewers on Thursday. We've got opening day, Jerry. It's 37 degrees outside.
You are correct. 410 for the Yankees.
410.
And Astros.
Yep. All right. I don't know. We go through this every year with the opening day. It's still too cold. But here's the thing. We will get to hear from Shohei Ohtani today, Jerry.
We will. I know.
Now, MLB, every time I was in the car and I clicked on the radio station,
yeah,
it was Evan shouting that MLB must open an investigation.
They are.
Right, but this was just him shouting.
Okay.
And then Tiki saying why. It was like, we must open an investigation. I don't do the impression like Gio does. We must open an investigation. Why? He didn't do anything wrong. But we must. Everyone has to know about it. But wasn't betting. It wasn't him.
I did hear some of this. Tiki is way too far on just taking his word for it.
Yeah.
And then Evan's way too far the other side on everyone needs to investigate him, which
yes.
they will. And I think, God love Tiki, but a little too easy on this one.
Yeah, so we are going to investigate Ohtani. And Ohtani is going to speak to the media today.
Which is interesting.
Yeah, we have no idea what time.
No.
We don't know whether he's going to take questions. We don't know anything other than...
This can't just be a written statement today. It can't be.
This
he's
is if
got
I was,
to take questions.
If I was him, I would learn a English phrase just so he could have... I would go, I don't have an interpreter right now. I can't take your questions. So!
Except for the fact that he'll be standing right next to the interpreter who is going to be taking the questions.
I'd be holding up signs that say, I can't trust these interpreters anymore. I don't know what he's telling you people.
Could do, now that you could do... That you could ask a question and he could just hold the sign up.
I don't trust. Right. If I was Ohtani, I would show up there with one of those signs with the arrow pointing to my interpreter. Like, don't trust this guy. Do not trust interpreters anymore.
You want to talk about an SNL skit in real time.
As the interpreters, like Ohtani speaks in Japanese, as the interpreter's interpreting, Ohtani holds up the sign. I have no idea what he's telling you guys.
The one thing that you might get, though, the fact that they are being investigated by the IRS already, and I do believe MLB opened up the investigation this week. I very much could see Ohtani through the interpreter saying, right now we're under investigation, can't speak about it.
Right.
Like, plead the fifth, essentially. I'm just going to focus on doing my job, and the truth will come out. I mean, something like that.
Do you think in any part of his statement, even if it's read today, that and he doesn't take questions, do you think in any part of the statement he says, I did not make any bets on anything, so just wanted to get that out there, let the investigation continue.
I don't.
Wow.
Because I think...
So then he's guilty, Jerry.
I don't know that he is or he's not. I will tell you what I said Thursday and Friday, though. I mean, it smells bad. I mean, it just, as much as, you know, we've all got friends and even family, and if you're going to pay $4.5 million for someone just because they're your friend, seems a little, something's not right. I'll just say that.
Know what they say, Jerry? A fish head stinks from the head down.
It does.
Or something.
And I, you know, if everything's under investigation, I could certainly see him hiding under that scope of I can't talk. I'm sorry. I can't say yes, no, anything in between. I can't really answer questions about this, but I'm focused on the season.
He's got to come out and say, listen, I'm not going to take any questions, but here's what I will tell you. I never bet on baseball. I didn't bet on anything,
which is what his translator said too.
And we will let the investigation play out. But that's all I've got for you people.
And that's probably what it'll be. Probably 2 minutes, and let's go hit home runs.
Now let's play ball.
Pretty much, yeah, pretty much. Not the way baseball wanted to start the season.
No, it is not.
The only good thing is that it's happening. By good thing, I use that as a loose term. The only thing that makes it not as big a story as it might be. Is the fact that it's in the middle of the NCAA tournament. It's in the middle of the NBA heading down the stretch to the playoffs. You've got, not that anyone cares all that much about hockey, but there's a lot going on right now. Like, as opposed to, let's say this happened in July, when that's all we have. It'd be even bigger than it is.
There's some thoughts in the media, Jerry, that if this were a Met or a Yankee, it'd be a whole different
situation. It would be here,
situation.
Sure. Well, here, of course.
But
does it would be in our backyard and it'd be our guys.
But does here dictate the rest of the world?
No,
or the
I don't
country?
Think so. It used to. I don't think it does anymore. I really don't. I mean, there are so many media outlets now. Social media is such a big thing. I don't think it matters. I think if you do something stupid, it's going to blow up no matter where you are because of social media more than anything.
Did you see some people started looking into the past of the interpreter? And that he said that he went to some particular college and they have no record of him going there. Then they said he was on the Red Sox staff at one point. They have no...
He wasn't.
No.
this guy's a gem.
This guy was faking his LinkedIn account.
Well, what do you always say, right? Wasn't that a Seinfeld episode, too? Just say you got a degree from here. Who's going
to
check?
No, we talked about that. My friend wanted to do that when one of the schools
went out of business. Oh, that's what it was on the podcast. Yes, right.
And he was like, I would just say... Because he doesn't have a college degree. Mm-hmm. So he's like, I'll just put that college down. And when they say, do you have transcripts? There's no one in the office. I can't get transcripts.
That guy went to Uppsala College. I could say I graduated from there.
Is that the school that went away? Uppsala?
Yeah. After my third year. Right about to be a senior.
Right, sorry. So I graduated from Uppsala. Yeah. I'd love to get you transcripts. They're out of business, though.
Yeah. Who are you going to find and track down? There's got to be some record of that stuff somewhere, though. Now, it would take some digging.
Yeah, it would take some. But, like... This interpreter put down that he went to a school that's like still in business.
I went to UCLA. Yeah. No, you didn't.
Yeah. They're like, unless you went under a different name. Did
the
you
Red
go
Sox
under?
One is interesting.
Yeah, it was some sort of weird, like he was in that's the Red odd. Sox organization.
And they have like, no record of it?
No, he's not there.
Very strange. The whole story stinks.
Yeah.
But
I know, I was kind of looking forward to Ohtani talking, but I think you're right. I don't think we're really going to get anything.
I don't think so. I think he's been advised by his attorneys not to say anything.
And he's definitely not going to answer questions. Like the fact that that's even like, oh, is he gonna, you really think Ohtani's gonna sit up there with an interpreter and take questions from the media, a million questions about betting?
I think it's an interesting question, because I think if you go up there and you read a paragraph and then walk away, it looks lame.
Yeah.
If you answer questions and not really answer questions, it's gonna look lame, but at least you face them. You know what I mean? Like I don't think he's gonna answer anything. But at least you hear the questions. You let the media have at it a little bit, and you've just got to be strong enough to fall on the whole, my attorneys told me not to speak while it's under investigation.
Jerry, if you get the job as program director here and you had it today, would you carry this live?
Would you? What time is it?
I don't know. Let's say it's at, they don't have a time
because it's in California.
Let's say it's at our New York time at noon during the BT and Sal show.
I would go to it for sure, and at least for the first 30 seconds, if it seems interesting, I'd stay with it, and if it sounds just like nothing, then I'd pull away from it very quickly.
Me too, Jerry.
You know, I would play it live.
We could run this place,
We could run this.
As a team.
Co-PDs.
Co-PDs, yeah.
You can have the non-sports part, I'll take the sports part. I got weekends and nights.
That's the easiest part, Jerry.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I would absolutely run it, though.
Yeah,
I think people
too.
Are interested. I think non-sports fans are interested.
And you're right. It's not going to be long.
I don't think so. It can't be.
No.
Because he's not going to say much. But I do think the fans are interested in hearing from him.
Me too.
So, yes, I would run it.
Okay.
100% I would run it.
What's your take on this, Jerry, with opening day just this week? And it's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
A few days away.
J.D. Martinez, the newest Met,
yeah,
who's going to DH, Jerry. Mm-hmm. He says, I want to be there for opening day. That's a special thing to be a part of, but I've got to get my body ready. I've got to have my spring training now, and I've got to get ready for the season. The last thing I want to do is kind of rush through it and get hurt.
When they signed him last week, one of the things I thought was, will we see him before middle of April? I never thought he would be here this week. Well, only because he hasn't seen any live pitch. Like, you can stay in shape and you can go take swings, but you've got to go see some live pitching to kind of get ready. Remember when Pete Alonso was injured last year? He came back and he was not very good. He kind of rushed his way back and then looked lousy for about 2 weeks at the plate. Like, you got to get back into that rhythm of seeing live pitching again. So, I'm just hopeful that it's like mid-April and it's not May. That he is ready to hit.
Go see some live pitching today, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Sure. But think about all these other guys. They've been doing it for 6 weeks.
Yeah, but it's so casual. It's not like they're there all day seeing live pitching. It's just a bunch of guys standing around.
I think
a lot.
They see more than you think. on the backfields when you got all these pitchers trying to get their work in. It's not just the spring training games. Like, there's a lot of live BP that takes place around the facilities. I've only been to spring training a couple of times, but it always amazed me how much was going on in so many different spots. But you're right. It's not like they're facing pitching for 12 hours a day. You're 100% right with that. But I do think they see a lot more than you think. And for him, I don't know what he's been doing. Like, I would have thought he'd been working out and kind of being ready. But it doesn't surprise me at all that it's going to take him a couple of weeks to get up here.
Imagine if this guy had to play the field. We wouldn't see him until July. I've got to start looking at what
I
is
say it? Grounders.
Yeah. What does the pop fly look like? I don't remember.
It was a good thing that's not an issue.
Yeah.
Just come hit. That's all. Just be here and hit.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to need some time to be ready to hit.
I bet you, all kidding aside, I think he'll be here by the second week of the season.
Okay.
That's what I think. I don't think it'll be, I don't think May. I think sometime early to mid-April we'll see him. It does suck, though, that it's not Thursday, and I understand, because opening day is one thing. Game number 9 is not quite the same.
Yeah, no one cares.
No, especially not if it's 47 degrees and chilly. By the way, you want the forecast for this week?
Yes, I do.
So Thursday, opening day, 57 degrees and occasional rain.
Where is that at?
New York.
Do the Mets play home?
I believe the Mets are home because the Yankees are in Houston.
Oh, the Yankees are. Yeah, you're right.
Okay.
The Mets are home.
Then off Friday, because I understand why. I don't know why we don't do a floating day off.
Yeah.
And here's why. You've got this series set up for this series is set up for Thursday through Sunday where you play 3 games. So they set opening day for Thursday. It's supposed to rain Thursday. Friday is 54 and sunny. Saturday's 58 and sunny. Sunday's 55 and sunny. Yet you're going to plow through a damp, cold, disgusting day Thursday?
No, let's do Friday, Jerry.
Oh, man.
Let's get them to change that. Who do we talk to?
Rob Manfred.
Rob Manfred. He's got his own problems with this Ohtani situation. Yes. He ain't going to take our call today, Jerry.
Yes, he does. He does have his problems. Yeah, the Mets are home and the Yankees are in Houston.
That's right, because that's what sucks. The Mets only get one opening day. The Yankees get 2. They get opening day and home opening day.
Yeah, but where do the Mets go after that? They might get a home opener for the other team, too, with the pomp
and
circumstance.
Yeah, but it's not the same, though.
You like it where the road team opens the season, opening day, even though we're not home, and then they get to come home for the...
Yeah.
Okay, that's fair.
And then you get to come home for your opening day. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, still neat. The home opener's still neat. It's not the same as the opener. And the Mets have forget last week in wherever they were, in South Korea. They have they're the opening game for baseball.
Oh, is that right? 1 o'clock against the Brewers?
Standalone game. There's no other game till 3 p.m.
The Brew Crew. Man, it'd be cool if the Brewers brought back all their 1980s stars for this.
Maybe they will.
And the Mets, too.
You know what they would do that for, though? Their home opener.
Yeah, their home opener.
So maybe the Mets can bring back some of their guys. I haven't seen the list who's throwing out the first pitch, but maybe Doc Gooden's out there. Who knows?
The good doctor. Well, they're retiring his number this year.
Yeah, and Darryl.
So they'll probably do it. Those guys will get to throw out first pitch that night.
They can't
probably.
Throw out 2 first pitches.
They cannot.
Why not? How about this?
They're like JD Martinez. They need time to get into the flow.
Lee Mazzilli. You like that.
Yeah. Let's get Craig Swan back out here. Pat Zachary.
Kevin McReynolds.
Yeah, let's get some of these.
Pat Zachary.
Let's get some of these 82, 83, 81, 82, 83.
Neil Allen?
Let's go. Yeah, let's get Neil Allen out here, Jerry.
Yeah,
let's get Bob Baylor, the former
Bob Baylor.
Second baseman.
Wasn't he on the California Angels
at
one point, too? Or is that? No, that was Don Baylor, sorry.
Don Baylor.
Wrong Baylor.
Great. You know what's weird? You know how Sal and BT do that thing where they
open
up cards and they say a player, you got to say where he was that year.
You would do well with that, I think.
I do play along in the car. But out there, there's like 5 cards out in the newsroom. There's a Kent Tekulve card. He's on the Phillies.
Really?
Yeah, and I looked at the back of the card. It was like Pirates, all these. And then now he's on the Phillies. I do not recall that at all.
I don't either. That does not ring it. Was he on the Braves for a brief time, too?
I do not. I thought he was a lifetime Pirate, Jerry.
Yeah, but you know what, though? Things started to change a little bit. I want to see this real quick. Let's see here, and then we'll take our first break of the morning.
I did see when he was on the Phillies, Jerry, he was fat. He weighed 85 pounds.
So, no. So, it was Pirates 74 through 84. No, 85. He was traded in the 85 season to Philly, And then, oh, that's what I'm thinking. Cincinnati is where he ended up.
Really?
His last year. I thought he ended with the Braves. His last year, and it wasn't much, he was with the Reds in 1989 for a brief time. So there you have. Maybe that's the card I'm thinking of that I have.
Yeah.
Because I do have him not on the Pirates, but not the Phillies either. Must be the Reds.
I'd bring him in as a pitching coach. Switch everyone to Submarine. Imagine you had a whole staff of Submariners. Like Garrett Cole.
Make sure he's still alive. Hold on.
He is.
Okay, good.
He does stuff actually with the Pirates broadcast.
Good. 77 now.
Yeah, you get like, imagine you get Garrett Cole, Jerry, late in his career. He just turns into a Submariner.
It'd be fun.
Every Yankee pitcher, Nestor Cortez, Submarine.
I like having the one guy. Like, it's like having one knuckleballer.
They really throw people off.
Yes. You kind of move the rotation around. You got the knuckleballer day two, the Submariner guy day four and in between, the fireballer, the spot pitcher, and then whoever the hell the fifth guy is.
That's what teams should do. Middle reliever, Submarine pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
The setup guy, knuckleballer. Then high heat guy to close the game.
You could do, right, you go from the knuckleball to the high heat.
Yeah.
You go from R.A. Dickey to Aroldis Chapman. Right.
It's regular pitcher starts the game. Submarine, knuckleballer.
Yeah, would.
Fire pitcher.
That would definitely give teams a different look. There's no question about
that. Man, people would love that, Jerry.
All right, quick break. Just getting started. We got Boomer and Geo here for a Monday. We got a lot more to do with you as well on The Fan.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nice to have you with us. Monday. We start a new week. It is the warm-up show. You've got Boomer and Geo coming up in just a little while. 6 o'clock. The guys are here and fired up and ready to rock.
I found a series on Netflix, Jerry. It's a reality series. It's called Homicide New York.
Okay.
And it's...
About Bruce?
No. It's about murders in New York City.
Yeah.
Where they have these people who are now retired. They look back on some cases. And one of the main guys on there is a guy who's been in our studio many times.
Who's that?
Bill McNeely. If you saw him, you would know him. He's been here a few times.
Okay.
I forget for what reasons he came in, but when the NYPD came in a number of times, he's one of the guys, retired officer, detective,
that's involved
whatever
in
that's involved
with.
That's
awesome. Very cool.
You know the thing that really stood out to me watching this thing? I feel like people just get murdered in New York every day. Like, and I kind of get numb to it. Like, mm-hmm. When you hear on the news, oh, someone was murdered on the subway.
It desensitizes to it.
Yeah. A lot of these cops that see it every day are not desensitized to it. And they're like very caring for the families of the victims.
Because it's very personal to them, I'm sure. I've always wondered how when you get... You know, we always talk about this is work, and this, as I said with Boomer on Thursday or Friday, whatever it was, like this to me, this isn't work. This is a commitment to be here. We've got to wake up, but what we do is not work. And you think about guys that take their lives into their hands every day they leave the house. I mean, yeah, all right, we all do when we get in the car. But
you come to New York, we're all taking our lives into our hands,
when
Jerry.
You're signing your life away for a job, like being a cop in New York City, man, and then to see what they see on a daily or weekly basis, I don't know how you don't go home with that stuff.
There's one episode where there's a missing cleaning woman from a building in New York. And, like, the cops are, like, really, like, concerned. Mm-hmm. And in my head, I'd be like, isn't there a million missing cleaning ladies in New York?
Yeah, but they start to, I would think, as they start to do the research and investigate, yes. You start to almost know the person.
Yeah, and then they get close with the families. Yeah, man,
difficult.
What a job that is.
Very difficult. But you're right, so desensitized to it because of how much of it we hear about.
Yeah.
Awful.
But they don't appear to be desensitized, which was very strange. These cops that have been in the business for, you know, to the point now they're retired.
Yeah.
So they have a whole career.
Well, for us, all we're doing is hearing it.
Yeah.
We're not living it, and we're not getting to know anybody.
Man, I want to be a cop, Jerry. I want to fight crime.
Go ahead, go. You go join the police academy.
I'm afraid.
At the ripe age of 54.
I'm afraid, Jerry.
Well, then you can't be a cop.
No, but I like the idea of, like, man, I would love to fight crime.
Mm-hmm.
Just all these punks.
Yeah,
out
I understand.
There. You know what I mean?
But the being afraid part kind of takes you away from that. Yeah.
That does take me away
from
it.
That eliminates you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Can't be afraid.
It completely eliminates me.
Yeah.
March Madness, Jerry. So there are a couple things went on here.
March Madness.
Our friend down the hallway, Andrew Perloff, who works on the Maggie and Perloff show.
What did he do?
He thumbed out a tweet that now has 17 million views.
What? 17 million?
That's correct.
What the hell did he write?
So there was in the women's game, Jerry.
Which I have not seen one second of.
Caitlin Clark, whoever she was playing against.
All I know is I saw the headline that her dad told her to stop complaining.
Oh, that was great.
That's all I saw.
That was great. Well, anyway, in the game from over the weekend, a woman on the opposing team came across and looked like threw a left hook.
Like a haymaker?
Like a haymaker at her.
Okay.
And Andrew Perloff sent the video out and tweeted, they called this an intentional foul, two free throws in the possession. A two-year-old could see this wasn't intentional. So he got just lambasted because it looks like she's throwing a left haymaker.
Mm-hmm. I gotta see this.
But
I have not
seen
this.
17 million views out of it, Jerry.
You make any money off those 17 million views?
He did not.
Okay.
And then he tried to milk it. I see he was tweeting more about the thing later on.
Well, that's like you. Dig deep. Now you're going to dig in, and now we're going the other way now.
But he's smart. He tweeted about it and got 373,000 views. Tweeted about it again, got another 104,000 views on his take.
Okay.
So he was like, let me dig in here.
Good for Perloff.
Yeah.
That's great.
He went viral, Jerry, and went viral for something that can't get him fired, which is the best way to go viral.
I didn't even see this. That's amazing.
Yeah, I saw it over the weekend.
I can't wait to see when the ratings come out, just from the standpoint of, you know, Caitlin Clark has, I believe, elevated women's college basketball to levels we've never seen before. So much so that Gus Johnson has done a good handful of Iowa women's basketball games in prime time on Fox. And all we heard about was, you know, how popular the sport is now. And it certainly is more popular than ever. I'm not saying it's not. But I also feel like right now it's lost because the men are playing. Now, I don't know. Maybe the ratings will be great for it, but I didn't even know where they were, where the games were.
Are we just interested in Caitlin Clark, or are we interested
That's my contention, yeah. Is that she is going to elevate. She's like this. I mean, we've said this a million times. She's like the Steph Curry of basketball right now, where she's fun to watch, dynamic, fun personality, and she's interesting. And if I watch it, like, that's the only women's college basketball game I'll turn on because I'm not a fan of it otherwise. Nothing wrong with it, but I just don't watch it. And she's leaving for the WNBA next year. You'll find out, A, between the tournament going on as the men are playing, and B, next year when she leaves, where are the ratings when she's now playing professionally?
You're right. The other video, the thing that went out there is she was complaining to the refs, and you saw her father in the stands yelling at her to shut up.
Yeah, which is awesome.
Stop complaining.
That is fantastic.
Yeah. Instead of helping and complaining with her to the refs, he was like, zip it and just play some ball.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
What else do I have here, Jerry? Oh, this is going around as well. ESPN, they had a segment with betting analyst Aaron Dolan.
All right, so I saw this. And I don't understand it. Explain
By the
this
way,
to me.
All of a sudden, hot chicks are betting analysts?
All of a sudden? Have you not been paying attention for the last 2 years?
I guess I haven't. Like, every time I see a beautiful woman on TV, I'm like, what does she do? Oh, betting analyst. Oh, what?
They're all over the... They've been all over the place. Come on now.
That's just weird. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, beautiful women are betting analysts?
Right, but they're... They're gambling, sports gambling experts.
Well, she was doing a segment with Reese Davis, Jerry.
Uh-huh.
And she said that you should bet the under by Northwestern. The under was a 60.5.
Okay.
And Reese Davis said, you know what? Some would call this wagering, gambling. I think the way you've sold this, I think what it is a risk-free investment.
So what's wrong with that?
People got upset with that he was telling people that there was no risk in making this bet. So they were not
happy.
But
you got to listen to his first couple of words. With the way you've sold this, meaning you presented a great case and you've changed my mind. All right, risk-free, whatever. But if you listen to the whole thing, if that's what... So that's what the controversy
that's
is?
That's the controversy. That that he made wagering on sports a sure thing.
Okay.
By the way.
Well, you're an idiot if you think anything's a sure thing. Really. Get your head out of your ass.
By the way, I Googled this morning. They only scored 58, so she was correct.
Wow. I'll tell you what, though. You might have been holding your breath there at the end.
Well, she actually was interesting. Is she called it a sweating game or whatever. She said, you're going to be sweating this one out, but it will be under 60.5.
And she got it.
So I guess hot chicks are betting experts.
I guess they are. I don't know what the numbers said, but good for her.
She got that one correct, Jerry.
Yeah, I would say so. By 2.5 points.
Yeah. Some fans of March Madness, Jerry, were not happy that CBS broke in with a special report about Kate Middleton's cancer diagnosis.
Did they miss a basket?
They didn't.
Who cares?
They didn't miss a single
All they did
thing.
Was take commercials that we don't want to watch off.
Correct.
What difference does it make?
That's correct. They did miss no action, Jerry.
Ay-ay-ay-ay.
It was more people. You know, I went and I looked at the reaction after I saw the article. I was like, let me see what people were. It was more like... sort of tongue-in-cheek, sort of like March Madness basketball fans don't care about royal family news.
Well, I agree with that. I said that last week.
Yeah.
Like, I think I'm part of that audience, and I hope she's okay. I saw the story over the weekend. But don't give a crap. I'm just not interested. You live your life. I know they live it publicly. I'm not interested in it. And I don't think most of our audience isn't. I think most people are.
Yeah.
But I don't think most sports fans are.
Right.
I don't think, anyway.
Me and my friends, we used to go get a couple beers, Jerry, and we'd sit around and we'd talk about, like, what celebrity news was worthy enough to break into programming.
Okay.
We used to try to think of that. Like,
oh, yeah, it's interesting.
You know what I mean? Like,
what kind of programming, though, were you talking about? Like, anything?
No, like a popular... This was back in the day when sitcoms were popular and people watched them. Like,
so Cheers is on Thursday night back
day. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Who would have to... have a bad accident or pass that would get a breaking news into Cheers.
First of all, it's got to be an A-list celebrity, if not the president of the United States, of course. It would have to be a big name.
Like Brad Pitt. Would they break in for that? Like Brad Pitt passes away. Are we breaking in the Cheers Thursday night back in the day?
I don't know.
Yeah.
That's a... You might put... A crawl.
Right. We used to have different levels. We'd say, what about a crawl?
On, yeah.
Would you get a crawl?
And I think what you would do is direct them to your sister station where there's coverage.
Oh, okay.
I don't know, though. Like Seinfeld back in the day. Would you break into Seinfeld for something like that? Or Friends?
Right.
I don't know. But you might put a crawl on that would say, go to NBCNews.com or something now for live coverage.
Yes.
That's an interesting
one. The break-in's a tough one.
That is a tough one.
Break-in's got to be... A-lister or big-time political person.
Think about 94 with the O.J. chase.
Yes.
That was a pretty big deal.
That was a big deal.
And that was, I mean, NBA conference finals. Or was that the NBA finals? Was that Knicks-Rockets, Eddie? Or was it the comp trying to think? It was Knicks-Rockets. So it was NBA finals, not the Eastern Conference finals. Yeah, so I would think that's what you probably, yeah. How about that?
Now, a lot of people were interested in what was going on with Kate Middleton because... People had thought, well, we haven't seen her. What's going on? Now you know.
Now you know.
Cancer diagnosis.
Yeah.
And
I hope she's okay.
Me too.
What can I say? How about Yale beating Auburn? Which was phenomenal, by the way.
You know, there was an interesting thing with Yale also, Jerry. There, I guess, what was it? It was, the Idaho Marching Band Yale's marching band couldn't make the trip.
Because they were in Spokane.
They were in Spokane?
Yeah.
So the Idaho kids put on Yale t-shirts, got the Yale marching sheet music, and showed up.
Is that true?
And cheered on Yale.
You know, it's funny. I watched all of that game Friday against Auburn. I didn't get to see last night because it was too late. But I watched Friday when I was texting Sal because obviously, well, not obviously, you have no idea who their head coach is. But, James,
you don't know that, Jerry.
James Jones. Does that ring a bell?
James, I'm going to say.
Why would James Jones be relevant to me and Sal?
Because he must have been on Columbia's staff at some point.
No, but his brother Joe Jones was the head coach at Columbia from like two, I forget exactly what years, but I was with him for about 4 or 5 years there. And that's his brother. And so every year Columbia would play Yale. It was Jones versus Jones, two of the nicest people in the world. So I root for them because I like James Jones. And so does Sal. So I was texting him during that game as they held off Auburn. So that was pretty cool. But all watching that game, I wasn't aware of that Idaho story. Yeah, that is cool.
That is cool.
That is very cool. And then what was the other one? The James Madison student section was ridiculous. I know they lost yesterday, but their win the other day, the student section was A, huge, and B, like into it. It was pretty cool. A couple of cool things from it.
James Jones is a great name.
James Jones.
Oh, man. They'd be like, if I was somewhere there, what is your name? James Jones.
James
man,
Jones.
Man, that is like authority.
He did have, before as we go to break, here was James Jones talking about losing.
Basketball gives you life lessons. And, you know, the lesson that we learned today, that everything's not going to be sunshines and roses for you. You have to fight through. And, you know, you're going to have a sandwich that you don't want to eat sometimes. And we had to eat the sandwich.
We're eating the sandwich.
Yeah, sometimes you don't get the pick from the menu.
The crap sandwich.
You got to get the crap sandwich whether you wanted it or not.
All right, quick break. When we come back, we got a lot more to do. We'll get to Boomer and Gio at 6 on the Fan. Ah, Boomer and Gio are back for a big Monday program. Going to be here all week, too. How about that? How about that? The gang's back together for the week. Kind of cool.
We'll be here all week, folks.
We'll be here all week.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. I saw Adam Silver was on a talk show, Jerry. Actually, he was on the show with Charles Barkley and
Gail King.
Gail King.
CNN, is that where that is?
Yeah, it's on CNN. Mm. And he was talking about younger people watching NBA games just through social media clips.
Yeah, I think that's huge.
Like, is how they consume basketball.
Yeah, yeah.
And he said, quote, they feast on social media, and our players are incredibly popular there. But it's not a substitute for watching live games. He said the problem is social media viewership does not generate revenue the same way game viewership does.
Well, that's true.
So they're getting a little nervous, Jerry.
And they should. I also am of the belief, because of watching games and calling games, watching the highlights is fine as a fan. There's nothing wrong with it. But you do miss a lot when you don't watch games.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, we've discussed this many times, you can watch highlights of a baseball game and you know exactly what's going on. You know who won, who had the big hits. But you do miss certain things that happen that lead you to those, you know, results. It just depends on how much of a fan you are. But he's not wrong. I mean, I've always told you, like Matthew and his friends, they do watch games, but my God, they watch a lot of highlights. This weekend was the first time I saw him in a while locked in on like the NCAA tournament. Like, he was in front of the TV, not just watching highlights, like watching the games.
Put on actual games.
Yeah, where I actually thought he'd be more highlight driven this weekend. He wasn't. He was into the games.
Yeah, I guess, you know, the NBA early on, they were one of the leagues that embraced putting their clips on social media and letting just even content creators use their stuff to get it out to the younger generation.
Yeah.
But now it seems like because they did it that way, that the younger generation wants to, quote unquote, watch games that way, which is not watching games.
Correct.
And they have these huge rights fees.
Yeah.
And they want to draw huge audiences. And I guess that's something, I don't know how they fix that going forward.
Well, I'll tell you how you fix it. You make it more important to play in the regular season. I mean, that's another aspect to this. Like, if the players aren't going to give you 100%, number one, we have off nights. It's gotten better. I don't want to say it hasn't been. It's gotten better with the rest days and the load management. But if you watch NBA basketball and you really think guys are playing 100% every night, it's not even close. Then you watch them in the playoffs, they look like different teams. So if you're not going to value the regular season, why should a fan? I think they probably watch more postseason games than they do regular season games. I would think that's not highlight-driven. But to me, that's the problem that the league has created and the players have created.
Yeah.
I don't know how you fix it.
Less games.
Like, the Knicks, to me, are one of the few teams that give you 100% every night. And I think that's why they, I don't want to say overachieve, I think that's why they're as good as they are and why I do believe they've got a chance to make a deep run in the postseason. This team plays hard every night. I watch the Nets. I know you didn't watch Nets-Knicks the other day. I'm not even going to be stupid to ask. The Nets look like they are going through the motions. No one's running. They can't rebound the damn ball. All those things are effort. The Knicks kicked the crap out of them in the fourth quarter, physically and effort-wise. And it's obvious. So if you've got teams that aren't going to play hard, why should fans watch hard?
Good point. If you're not going to play hard, We don't watch hard. We watch highlights only.
No, the Nets, to me, have enough talent to be better than they are. And I don't know if it's the coaching or just the lackluster don't-give-a-crap attitude, but pains me to say this. I'd rather watch the Knicks right now because I feel like they're giving you a full effort.
And you're a Nets fan, Jerry.
Yeah, yes. The Nets have become boring to watch. They don't do anything. They shoot a million threes, don't rebound the ball. That's great. Great recipe to win games. Phenomenal.
All right, so you're out for them. You're now a Knicks fan?
No, I'm not a Knicks fan, but they're a much more intriguing watch, and they actually give you effort.
There was a misleading type headline concerning the women's NCAA tournament, only because of everything that's going on with Ohtani and the betting. And there was an NCAA ref was pulled at halftime of the Chattanooga NC State women's basketball game because of a background conflict. That sounded to me like betting of some sort.
Yeah, you would think.
So I did read the entire article, Jerry.
Yeah.
And as I got further on down the paragraphs, turns out she went to school at Chattanooga.
How do you not know that when you assign them the games? Honestly.
But she also should have said, I went to Chattanooga. I can't ref the Chattanooga game.
Fair enough. But someone's got to know when they put the refs in place.
Yeah.
I mean, I would think that's their only job, is scheduling the refs. Shouldn't you do some sort of a check to make sure there's no issues like that? I mean, come on.
Is Chattanooga in Tennessee?
Tennessee. Probably another place I'll never get to.
Yeah.
What
get
fame
there.
Wasn't?
You went to Nashville, isn't
didn't
that?
Terrell Owens go to Chattanooga?
I'm going to say yes, Jerry, because you said that so confidently.
Because he was one of the best receivers we've ever seen. He didn't go to USC or UCLA. He went to Chattanooga. I'm pretty sure. I'll check that out on the break. But Eddie's giving me the nod, so I think I got that right. Chattanooga. You want to go there next week?
No, but you've been to Tennessee. You went to Nashville, I thought.
I did go to Nashville.
Yeah, so you've already been.
Yes.
You could check Tennessee right off your list there.
It is off the list, but not Chattanooga. Quick break. When we come back, we'll wrap it up, get you to Boomer and Geo. Right now, Odyssey Sports Minute, Amy Lawrence talking about exactly what we're talking about. Hoops.
Hoops.
It's the dynamic duo of Al and Jerry, the superheroes of WFAN.
All right, not a lot of time. We got Boomer and Geo standing by. What'd you leave for the end, Al?
Jerry, we had a biting incident in UFC. You know, this harkens back to the Mike Tyson versus Evander Holyfield ear bite. This was a man bit another man right on the arm, like a chunk, Jerry.
And he got kicked out, right?
Kicked out of UFC.
Yeah.
And then the fighter who got bit in the arm immediately tattooed the bite marks on him. So he seemed happy to get bit.
That's a cool man right there.
He's like, look at how badass I am, Jerry. I got bit right in the arm.
Bite it again. Bite it.
WFAN. WFAN-FM. WFAN-FM HD1. New York. Always live on the free Odyssey app.